I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I remember walking round the court square sidewalks, looking in windows for things I couldn't want. There's Johnson's Hardware and Morgan's Jewelry, and the Ole King's Apothecary. They were the little man, the little man. I go back now, the stores are empty, except the old Coke sign dated 1950. Boarded up like they never existed.
Alan Jackson.
Renovated and called historic distance. There goes the little man. There goes the little man. Now the court square's just a set of streets that people go around, but they seldom think about the little man that built this town before the big money shut him down.
Songs about Walmart.
Oh, little man.
Nobody likes to talk about it.
He pumped your gas and he cleaned your glass. One cold rainy night, he fixed your flat. A new store came where you do it yourself. You buy a lotto ticket and food off the shelf. Forget the little man.
Mike's not answering his phone.
Forget about that.
Which means he's doing something and he's lost track of time. So all of a sudden he'll stop what he's doing, he'll look and go, oh, go grab his phone, he'll see a missed call, a text message. Hey, 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 what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, just so you know, right? The guys up in Mankato, they're not happy about Gunner switching football teams. that came up in my conversation last night.
Down and kill the little man.
Yep, not happy. Mankato, formerly the home of the Minnesota Vikings summer camp, back in the day when players lived on in dormitories, right? Came and you went to camp for 2 weeks and got ready for the season and all the rest of that stuff. Now they don't do that anymore. You have your training complex. Players have the money to have homes and couple of different places, and the NFL's a year-round business, so that camps at different parts of the year to keep everybody interested, and interesting email about sports. There's two of them. Mac, you don't hear people like you talking about sports and getting after their kids when they play sports. Thanks for mentioning that. I go to things that my grandkids play in, and I'm astounded at this skip-and-go-naked attitude that everybody has. At what point are kids taught the things that we got taught? It doesn't seem to me that's the way it is anymore. What effect does that have on our kids? And I'm not talking about so much the kids that gravitate to the military. What about the rest of those? And then he says, to use your term, hummingbirds. I'm not sure that's a good thing. A good way to raise kids. I was talking about this with people, and this is actually kind of funny. Kids grow up, and the question they get asked an awful lot now, how did that make you feel? How did that make you feel? How did that make you feel? Right? I was chuckling yesterday. When did I get asked that? I think I got asked that by Corporal Punishment Kathleen after she was spanking me. Yeah, how did that make you feel? Oh, not good. Yeah, well, there's more of that where that came from. Trust me. Just keep doing stupid shit. Yeah. That's when I got asked, how does that make you feel? Right? Right? Rubbing your ass as you ran into the garage and said, I'm going out to play. If she let you go back outside, you know, we're cast into your bedroom for a while. Yeah. But good question. When does it? Does it? Who does it? Right? Talk to teachers. Pretty interesting the way kids grow up these days. And anybody who tries to provide structure or discipline, what they run into. Confrontations at school. Kids in your face. Like, how do you do that one? Yeah, I don't know that I could do it. So, I'll tell you what. God bless the teachers that go in there and do that. It's a pretty interesting environment that they work in. So, I wouldn't trade all the tea in China to do that. So, the former President Barack Obama giving a speech right now. Yeah, supposedly Barack Obama is going to reemerge and begin to stump for Democratic candidates. I would say Democrat parties, I mean, it seems to be that the liberal part of that party, and I don't mean, so if you look at the spectrum of Democrats from right to left, so kind of a center Democrat, then you have conservative Democrats. What's the difference between a conservative Democrat and a liberal Republican? I'm not exactly sure. I think it's a game of semantics because in terms of public policy, they're pretty much the same. Then you would have a moderate Democrat, and then you would have the liberal Democrats. Well, the people making the most news in the Democratic Party are liberal Democrats. And so that's not going to sell to the middle third, plain and simple. And the people that run the Democratic Party, they know that. So if you look at the electorate as three segments, I've got another email to read about athletics. How does that make you feel? So there's three segments. There's the Democrats, there's the Republicans, right? Put the Democrats on the left, the Republicans on the right, and then there's the people in the middle, and we'll call those X. We won't even give them a label. The X people. Okay? So, the X people elected Bush, Elder. Then they elected Clinton, who's Bill Clinton's a centrist. Okay? Then they elected Bush, Younger. Then they elected Obama, and then we went from Obama to Donald Trump. Okay? So, that's pretty conservative when you look at the whole group. Pretty conservative group. Obama would be the question mark relative to conservative. So, how do you sell that group that elects those people since 1990, right? And before Bush is Reagan. Okay, how do you sell those people liberal candidates, extremely liberal candidates, except in extremely liberal districts? How do you sell liberal candidates to a national audience that's not going to elect them? That's the conundrum of the Democratic Party. So, be interesting to see what former President Barack Obama has to say. You know, I said this earlier in the week. I said this on Monday, but, you know, to me, Senator McCain's funeral in Washington, D.C., where during his funeral political statements got made, to me, that's not the place for that. You know? Afterwards, go ahead. During the funeral? Come on. And his daughter even went there. You know? So what was she auditioning for something else? You know? No, that's what my father would have wanted me to say. Right. Okay. All right. All right. I got it. Here's another question about sports. Good morning, Mac. Happy Friday. I played high school football, wrestled, threw the shot and a discus. I continued to play football throughout college. Not only was the hard work, discipline, and teamwork very important, but losing in life's lessons were extremely valuable. I have lifelong friends I met through college football, which today are all over the world, U.S. and the world. We still talk and see each other when we can. Mac, without athletics, I would tell you my life would be only half as great. I would not have the confidence to compete in the real world and never met so many great people, coaches, and lifelong friends. Sports are an important part of academics. Those who frown on them can pound sand. And again, that's from Dr. Matt. Here's another one. Mac, pretty interesting. I remember when you had the girl who competed in the Olympics. I can't recall her name, but it's a French name. I can recall it for you. Her name, Jocelyn Lammerer, came on the program. And, Jocelyn and Monique are twins. They play on the U.S. women's national team and as hockey players. And both are going to have babies. That was the plan. Get pregnant, have babies, and then see if they could play again. So, And he goes on. In the discussion you had with her, she talked about the influence of her father and her mother athletically. And then you later followed up with, a lot of people criticized the mother and father in the town that you lived in because they thought they were too hard on their kids. They seem to be pretty well-adjusted kids. They seem to be achievers. And if I recall, you've had them on a couple of times, one dealing with that boycott that the women's hockey team were involved with, and they were national leaders in that. I think there's a pretty good argument you could make from the careers of those two young women that discipline, structure, and being pushed is not a bad thing. Now, that doesn't endorse the idiots among us who don't know how to handle failure when their kids fail. I think what you described is exactly the way sports were meant to instruct. I told you he would join us. Michael Musselman. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing. What are you doing?
I lost completely track of time.
That's what I said. I said, here's what he's doing. He's doing something, right? I don't know what, but he doesn't have his phone there, okay? And then all of a sudden he's going to look at the clock and he's going to go, oh, shit. And then he's going to go to his phone, he's going to see a text message that I sent him, and then he's going to see a missed phone call, and he's going to go, oh, crap. And then he's going to call. And here he is. The man, the myth, the legend himself, Michael Musselman.
The gun here.
What were you so engrossed with that you lost track of time?
I can't remember what I was. Oh, I think we just had a conversation, the wife and I, and my daughter.
So you guys were sitting around talking, and you lost track of time. Well, that's a good thing, right? You were engrossed in the conversation.
Yeah, she was picking on me today, so.
Oh, you know what? I hate when people get picked on, especially the vulnerable. How did you take that? How did
it go? Very vulnerable.
How'd you take that?
Yeah.
Why was she picking on you?
Well, because I was picking on her first, but
no.
I was just being a bully, so she thought that she was picking on me, which was uncalled for. It was unwarranted.
Really?
It's expected for me to be that way, not for her, like I told him. This family only has room for one child.
That would be me.
Yeah, that behavior will not be tolerated. I've already put a corner on the market. So, yeah, it was like everything smart-ass. You know, every comment, it was like a little smart, little twangy smart-ass I hinted in that. And it was like, someone's diluted spastic. You know when your sisters or people you know, and they get like that, you're like, oh, this is not normal for them, right?
Right.
Yeah. This behavior cannot go unchecked. Because if you do, it's a sign of weakness.
No, that's what I say. This aggression cannot stand, right? Because if I allow this, then I will make the same mistake with you that the Iraqis made. They mistook our restraint for weakness. And then you had to remedy that situation. And I don't want you to go down that path.
Yeah.
I don't want you to go down that path. So I have to do this for your own good.
Yeah, you're right.
It's a beautiful thing. And the Iraqis did. They did mistake our strength or our restraint for weakness. Like, don't go there. We warned you. Did your dad ever coach you in sports? Was he an athlete? Did he, when you growing up, when you were playing, did he ever coach?
Did he coach me?
Yeah. Did your dad ever coach you? Did he?
No.
I think athletics are a great teaching tool for kids in terms of hard work, teamwork, and all the rest of that stuff. I often say I didn't learn. Marine Corps didn't.
That's not true, though.
I think it is.
No. Let me tell you why.
Why? Go ahead.
In today's sport, everybody's a winner. Everybody, you know, you showed up on the field and you tried really hard, Billy. Even though you came up short every time, you're just as good as everybody else. No, Billy is not as good as everybody else. Quit lying to Billy. Billy needs the cold slap of failure to wake his ass up to make him try harder.
Okay, let me ask you this. Okay, let me ask you this. So is that appropriate for kids when they start? Like, we didn't start playing sports. Like, you couldn't play Little League until you were 8. They have soccer teams at 5 now. Right? They can hardly say their own name. Half of them, if you say, where's your belly button, they just look at you like, what?
Yeah.
What? Like, yeah, what? Yeah. I don't know. What's a belly button? Yeah, your parents are idiots. But they're going to go play on a soccer team. So, I mean, to me, when kids are that young, it's like, whatever, man. Throw the ball out there. First of all, I'm not sure why we're doing this because they're too young. We didn't start playing until we were older. And you got cut. There was kids that... You got cut.
And when we got cut, it wasn't pleasant.
No. And you sat down and your parents had this heartfelt discussion with you. Well, you know, the reason you got cut is they didn't think you were good enough. And if you do want to play on those teams, you probably have to practice and go play more. You don't go down the park and play with the rest of those kids when they play. So it's kind of, you know, it's not a bad thing. It's just, you don't, that's not your thing. Then you got to work at it. But
I'm telling you, don't do that anymore. And if you do it, you're not mean. You don't do it to be spiteful. You just, hey, you're not good enough. What? I'm not good enough? No. But my mom tells me that I'm good enough. Well, you are. Everybody's good enough. But you're not good enough to play this sport. You're a good kid.
Yeah, and then, but if you want to, here's what you got to do.
You don't want to do kickball anymore, Matt?
Yeah, I know.
Because they don't like people getting picked last. So now kickball is, there's no, okay, Mike Matt, your team, you're the leader of this team, and Gunner, you're the leader of this team. Go ahead and pick. I'll take Kurt. I'll take Lucas. I'll take, and then Rob Schwartz is the last guy to get picked for the team. And they're like, and I'm like, hey, Mac, you take Rob Schwartz. You can have an extra guy on your team. No, no, man. Gunner, go ahead. Right?
Right. No, that's how it was. The recess, every day of your life, that's how it was.
You can take Jugdish and Henry and Frank and Schwartz. I'll play with these four guys. You can have nine.
Exactly. Hey, and you five, make sure you cover your face when the ball gets near you. We don't want you, anybody getting a bloody nose today like we did yesterday. Ha, 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 ha. Real funny, Mike. Real funny.
I'm watching the text to see if our Montana buddies respond.
That was
a baited hook, man. That was a big juicy earthworm on that hook, and he didn't bite. Not yet.
He was in a hot tub last night. He was tired from being on a horse all day.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. The No, I was having I was talking about I stuck my foot up Colleen's ass last night. I went to see her play volleyball yesterday, and she's become a pretty good volleyball player, but she was brutal. She was brutal yesterday. So I told her sister, hey, when she gets home, have her call me. So last night at about 9 o'clock, I answered the phone. Hello? She's like, hi, Dad. I'm like, oh, that's right. We're supposed to stalk, aren't we? Yeah. I said, quit being a wuss, right? You know you played like shit, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me just tell you a couple things, right? One, head in the game. When the other team's serving, you have to know where you are on the court, and you have to judge velocity. Velocity and how many steps to the side and how many steps to the back you are, okay? If you're playing in the back, if it's got steam on it, if it's above your waist, let it go. If it lands in, you live with it. Okay, most of them will go out. If it's dying, then you play the ball, right? That has to be crystal clear in your head when they hit the ball. Okay, now Colleen, you're the hitter, right? They're running the offense through you. The setter's looking for you to hit, right? But you didn't hit very well. So guess what? When you lose, today after practice, what do? Stay after and hit. Exactly. You got to get your footwork down because I can tell that you're kind of not sure. Do it over and over again, just like you did with your serve, right? You could do it. What's the key here? Hard work. There you go. All right. You got a tournament Saturday. You know, make steps. Be better. All right. All right. See you later. Love you. Don't suck anymore. All right, Dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it's a beauty because guess what? When Colleen hits adversity in her life, guess what she's going to hear? You can do it. Hard work. Have your head in the game, and you'll win. Because she knows that's what works in life. She knows.
Right.
But you can't.
It pays off.
But you can't teach it by going, it's okay. I love you. You tried hard.
Everybody's special.
You're special. You're special. You know what you know who the worst of that were moms whose kids were goalies, right, in ice hockey. Right? The kid gives up just a shitty goal and everybody's looking like, and then the mom's like, the mom and dad sit separate from everybody else because their kid gets blamed all the time. And they're like, it's okay. It's okay, Joey. Like,
yeah.
Hey, look, that was my kid's fault, actually. Right? He slipped going to block the shot. He didn't do his job. It's not your kid's fault. Right? You don't need to, like, tell your kid you love him all the time. Oh, my God. It was hilarious, though. It was hilarious. Yeah, my dad, you know, my dad was obviously gone. He never coached me. But I coach my kids, and I'd fire their asses up. Hey, come here right now. But I enjoy that. And I'll tell you, the great example is my buddy's daughters who are, you know, played for the U.S. Women's Olympic team. And, oh, by the way, they were leaders when they said, hey, look, we're not gonna play until we get some kind of compensation that's close to what the men get. And his two daughters were national leaders in that discussion about, hey, look, we want to just be treated equally. We're not asking for anything crazy. And where did that come from? It came from the confidence that God has young athletes. And he, when they were bad, look at them and say, you guys were awful. But they already knew. And where would you see those girls later? And whether it was soccer or hockey or whatever they were playing, because they were good athletes all around, they would be out there. They would be out there, you know, playing sports and working on it. And yeah, gold medalists in the Olympics. Interesting stuff. Hold on, I've got a question for the Gunner. It's about your career. Gunner's career. Hey, Mac, if you get a chance, would you ask the Gunner, did he know initially how long he was going to join the Marines? When was it that he knew he was going to make it a career?
I think when I became a gunny, I was like, okay, I'm in. But I never set out to make it a career because it wasn't, that's not the way I looked at it, you know? I didn't look at it as a career like that, you know?
So you never
did.
That's
kind of weird to say.
Yeah, it is kind of weird to say. So you just went enlistment to enlistment?
Oh, yeah. All the time. And I was a firm believer that, you know what? If you do things right, it'll all work out. I never bothered with doing, you know, whatever courses to get promoted. I mean, I did whatever I needed to do that was right to do.
And,
you know, and it turned out, look at it, it turned out good.
Well, yeah, you're good. I mean, you're smart, you're well-spoken, you got a sense of humor, all the things that it takes to be successful. Head in the game all the time and know how to treat people, all that kind of shit. Those are some pretty good tools. So even I'm sure the people that hated you, there was like, yeah, we can't really stop this guy. He's got too much on us. Interesting. But so talk about the decision to become a gunner. That's obviously a big decision that reverberated through your life. That's how you became a commanding general.
Yeah, I did. Well, I became a gunner because I didn't want to be a first son.
Mike, you know, we can't do it justice because we're not on TV. Okay. Mike, do your impersonation of what a Marine Corps first sergeant's job is.
Well, no, I don't say this is, you know, because there are good first sergeants out there, but too many of them that I was around, you know, was always like, it's from here, put your head down, here, grab my shoulder, here's a box of Kleenex that I keep my desk. We coddled them, you know, we never taught them to solve their own problems. You know, and that's the key, and that's why I didn't like that stuff.
Yeah, I don't even like to do the bro hug, right? It's like, look, and I, you know, Mike, you say it better as well as anybody I've ever heard. You know, how am I going to show you that I love you? I'm going to train the shit out of you. I'm going to make you great at what you do, right? That's how I'm going to show you I love you. Yikes! What did he just say? That's not how the rest of them do it. Yeah, no shit. No shit, it's not. This email's entitled "Shout Out." The commo pinned on Captain on Wednesday. I did the same thing. The ensign is his daughter. United States Navy. The commo is the daughter's husband. I did the same thing when the ensign was having math issues in sixth grade. Multiplication tables for 2 weeks. After the tears dried up and she realized there was no escape, it all clicked and she got straight A's in math from that point. She was also the volleyball captain, despite not being the most talented. Hustle, hard work, and motivation made her stand out. Hey, and those are the life lessons. And if your kid's playing sports and you're not teaching that, you're an idiot. Your kid's just a victim. And if you're a grandparent and you go to your grandkids' games and they're doing that and the parents teaching that, you need to yoke your kid up and you need to unscrew your kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hope everybody liked. I said unscrew. That's because it's Friday. I'm trying to be happy. I'm trying to be happy,
yeah.
Boy. Because I am happy. I am happy. Let me read you an email from one of my Marines from Alpha Company 30 LIR. He used to call me sir. Now he calls me dude. Dude. Now, let me give you some background. His sister was murdered, I want to say 15 years ago. And they're from the Sacramento area. And again, he's one of my Marines. Dude, my mom told me she listened to yesterday's replay. I mentioned that you were going to have your sister on, and she actually decided to listen. Please relay our gratitude to your sister for sharing her journey. It was really hard for me hearing your sister's voice crack in the interview because I know she still suffers and no amount of time will ever change that. I still hear the same thing in my mom's voice all the time, Mac. But yesterday and today were a little different. I think Peggy's story made a difference. I still heard the pain in my mom's voice, but at the same time, something was different and better. I guess she just sounded stronger. I'll keep you posted, but wanted to say thank you. Yeah, how cool is that? I read that to my sister last night.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. But you know what? Again, there's all these people, again, that you know, it's an interesting experience that I think Mike and I, you know, this thing we do. But, you know, he's a Marine of mine, and he's really successful sales guy now. But you know what? He's got it in his family, you know. And it's not Marine stuff. It's life stuff. And then all of a sudden you hear stuff on this show that you don't hear too many places. I'm going to tell you that right now. You don't hear. I mean, I got a call from the commanding general, 2nd Marine Division. And he and I were talking, and he stopped me in the middle of the conversation. He goes, you and the gunner have to come out and talk to the division. I said, we'd be happy to. He said, look, there's nobody saying the things you guys are saying that have the experience that you guys have and the credibility that you guys have, you know, to walk out and do something, you know. And I said, well, you know, we do it. You know what, Mike, I'd love to do is bring Peyton with us, have her sing, you know, at some point in the thing, you know, and, you know, say, hey, look, it's everywhere, right, this mental health thing. You can do it. You can do it. And kind of turn the prism a little bit. You know, we're not going to stand up here and lecture you. All right, we're real people that deal with real shit. So, anyway,
right.
So, pretty cool. Here's another email. This is a legitimate question, and I know you guys might take it the wrong way, but I'm honestly asking this: how did you guys get to be so smart about this stuff? You seem to have a pretty good grip on life. Have you always been like this? Or did something in your life make you smart? Yeah, okay, Mike. How did you get to be so smart?
I don't know. I guess I've always been this way. This is the way I am. It's, you know, what you get. It's kind of hard to explain because it's so simple to me that, I don't know why, but yeah, like I said, it's experience. You know, it's having those experiences.
Yeah, and I would tell you, I'm the same way. I think of myself as a people person, but an inquisitive person. I like to read. I love to coach. So these things that, you know, so kind of finding my way to the Marine Corps, and again, I had nobody in my family who was in the Marine Corps. I was just always impressed by Marines, growing up in California and then spending time in San Diego, when my dad managed the Padres. But I've always had fun everywhere I've ever been. I love intensity. I love passion, right? And you know, the Marine Corps, you know, I found that there. And then the things I saw there, the guys I met there, the women I met there, I mean, it was like, these are my people. I love this stuff. But again, the personality piece, the giving a shit piece, the inquisitive piece, I'm like Mike. I was that when I was 6 years old. That was me.
Right.
You would have run into, you know, the same punk kid that had an answer for everything, whose mother was telling them there's a time and a place for everything. Yeah, that would have been me. That would have been me.
Yeah. And it's looking at, I never took anything, I never took myself serious. Never took that, that kind of attitude towards things. I never took things too serious.
And still don't. In one of the conversations I had this week, somebody said, "Do you realize the impact you're having?" And I said, "No, I just do it like every day. I just do it what I think is, like Mike said, I do what I think is right. I try to help when I can, but do I think about the impact? No, I just do what is normal, natural, and the things I'm passionate about, and I don't really, think about that." Well, you should. Like, no. I think when you think about stuff like that, I think you start to lose your mind. I'm not sure that's a good thing. But
right.
So no. The other thing was, I was talking to my sisters last night. There was a pitching coach for my dad. He was aboard the Lexington in World War II. His name's Bill Posdell. When I was a little kid, every time he saw me, he'd say, "Come here." He used to make me call him Uncle Bill. He would tell me what a special kid I was. And I don't know if that, because, confidence, Mike, you're a confident guy, and I'm a confident guy. Where does that come from? How do you give that to somebody? Right? When you have kids, you think about that. Like, how do I give this confidence, to a kid? It's hard. It's not easy. If you could do it, it'd be kind of easy. But I've always been a pretty confident kid. And, I look back on, he was one of the guys who, I don't know if he just affirmed what I thought. Like, yeah, I think I'm special too. But he would tell me hey, you're a special kid. You're going to do something special on this planet. My Uncle Bill. And, he was a piece of work, man. He had these lumps on his head. And he'd call me over and he'd say, "Hey, you know what this is?" And I'd say, "No." And he'd said, "It's a couple scotches." he was a piece of work, man. He was one of those guys who started playing baseball when he was 17, went in the military for World War II, and then got out and made his living in baseball for his whole life. Never graduated from high school. He's just a rough, tough guy, man. And my Uncle Bill Posdell, pitched for the Boston Braves. Back in the day. So,
wow.
Interesting. Did you have anybody that impacted you when you were younger? I mean, before you joined the Marine Corps like that?
It would be just like you said, my uncles and, people like that.
All right. Here's another leadership question. Since we're talking about leadership, are there any things that you believe that are hallmarks of great leaders? Mike, do you have a list?
No. I mean, my thing for a great leader is someone that displays moral courage.
I'm not a list guy either. I heard General Zinni say, we teach this leadership style traits, he said, go down clean, reverent, obedient, all the rest of that. He said, hell, the last time anybody, like that walked the planet was 2000 years ago. Most of the great leaders, have half those qualities. Some maybe a third. How do they do it then without those great qualities? They're human beings, so that made a lot of sense to me. That there's a lot of different ways to do it, to become a leader. To me, I think great leaders, they have an element of compassion to them, and they also have a drive to them. And while they do understand and they are compassionate, they don't let that get in the way of goal achievement. And they're able to push people. They're able to push people even though they get it, that people have limits. And that's the kind of thing that I think that's the art to it. It's continuing to let them know that, yeah, I understand, but we're still going there. And that's not always easy to do, you know. And a lot of people will back away from goal achievement and things like that, you know, because the poor babies are tired. And but I think great people can do both those things. They know how to do that. But again, I don't have a prescription for it. I think that's kind of stupid in its own way, in terms of leadership traits and stuff like that. I've never done a class on leadership traits. Right? Yeah, you're out there. They're out there, you know. But I don't know that, in my opinion anyway, the whole laundry list of things, you know, I guess most of us have a lot of those traits. Do we all have all of them? Probably not. So, interesting. Where did you, another email, where did you guys learn the most about leadership? Mike, where did you learn the most about leadership? You've had kind of an interesting career.
Where did I learn the most?
Yeah, where did you learn the most?
Through bad leaders. Seriously. I learned how to be a leader through bad leadership. What not to do was always more important.
You know what? And I would concur. I was in the Marine Corps for a number of years before I crossed paths with what I thought was a really good leader, somebody who I went, wow, who is that guy? But I didn't know it, because when I joined the Marine Corps, when Mike and I joined the Marine Corps back in the 80s, in the early 80s, this was the recipe for success, right? You want to be successful in the Marine Corps? Find out what your CO wants and give it to him. That was it. There was no commander's intent. You didn't give your commanding officer input unless he asked you for it, and most of the time they didn't. That's not the way the Marine Corps was, right? It was, hey, when I'm a lieutenant, when I want to hear an opinion from you, right, I'll pull my pants down. Okay, so when you see me standing here with my pants around my ankles, that means I want you to give me an opinion. Until then, just do what I tell you to do. Yes, sir.
Okay. If I want an opinion from you, I'd give you one.
There you go. That's the Marine Corps that we joined. And so, it was top down. It was top down. Top down Marine Corps. And I'd agree. I think you learn a lot more in the company of bad leaders. And I think working for good leaders is hard because... They're great experiences, right? But it's not normal in the Marine Corps. What's normal in the Marine Corps is average leaders trying to be really good. And then what's hard about good leaders is when they leave and the next guy comes and you go back to normal. Really frustrating. Really frustrating, right? Because you start doing the stupid shit again. And you haven't done stupid shit in a long time, and it's not pleasant. It's frustrating. At one point in my career, I used to say, I think it's better to never work for those guys, because you don't walk around as irritated with the other people that you meet. But once you work for a great leader, it's really hard to suffer It's really hard to suffer the fools.
Oh, yeah. Huge. I really agree.
Give me... where were you in your Marine Corps life? You don't have to say any names. When you encountered the worst leader you've ever met in the Marine Corps?
I was a young NCO.
I was a major operations officer. Okay. My rank was major. I was being an operation man. And somebody who could crush the life out of an organization through micromanagement, second guessing, and the complete absence of any personality. That guy. The worst officer I've ever been around in my life. And that's when I went to, the first time I went to see a therapist was because of him. I was pissed. I was not happy. It was not easy work too, because we didn't have enough people and shit. So, and he was just nothing but an impediment to what we did on a daily basis. But you still have to put up a number. You still have to do what you were doing. And it was absolutely positively miserable. Yeah, here's an email from Nielsen. Your problem is that you and the gunner have worked with some truly great leaders. Yeah, that's, I agree with you. And when you do that, and then you have to go suffer the fools. And first of all, you know the guy's a fool. It's not like you don't know it. It's like you look at him like you're an idiot. So, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway. Hey, Mac, I haven't listened to this show in a week. Did you see that comeback the Red Sox made? What does the gunner think of that? We talked about this, but Mike, you want to make any comments about the miraculous Red Sox, the miracle Red Sox comeback?
I'm scared.
the gods that govern athletics. That is funny. Here's another email. I haven't heard you talk about the NFL this morning, Mac. No comment. Didn't watch
no
it.
Comment.
Didn't watch no. it. Didn't yep. watch it. No comment.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway. Anyway, Mike though did get wire brushed in my discussion with the guys up at Mankato last night. They noted, like, yeah, just for the record, we're not real happy with the gunner jumping off the bandwagon.
Good.
And then I offered Mike's explanation. Mike, explain how the Vikings betrayed you. You didn't actually quit them. They quit you. Explain that to everybody.
Yeah, they, over the years of putting all that effort in and then being the fools that they always were, you know, I got tired of being associated with that, so.
Yeah. So the final straw was they
called their own plays and disregarded the coach. I mean, who does that, man? A bunch of idiots, that's who does that.
And let me tell you, and that's no joke either. That is no joke. That's the truth. They did that. They, like, the play got called from the sideline and they're like, yeah, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, so there is a rational basis for his decision, okay? So I don't normally defend him on a lot, but that, like, there's certain parameters that you can, like, tolerate with your sports teams. And an insurrection, I do think, legitimately calls into question.
That is one of the cases that is not tolerated, man.
Exactly. And you had been a Viking fan since you were a kid, right?
Since as long as I remember.
And when we were in Afghanistan, there was a bunch of them. Mike, our assistant opso's name's Lance, the regimental commander, Dave Furness, all huge Viking fans. All huge Viking fans. So it would be awesome.
Yeah.
Because you knew the Vikings were going to have a meltdown because it's what they do. And just to see the pain on their faces, always, always a source of good comedy that would brighten an otherwise bleak day. Oh, we could always talk about the Vikings. It was awesome. It was awesome. But yeah, NFL, my team's going to be good. The 49ers are going to be good, but I can't watch them because they haven't settled this shit. I just can't believe. And now I read an article. That actually it was a link attached to the email about you haven't spoken about this, right? So in order to have seen the Nike commercial that played evidently during the NFL broadcast, you would have had to have watched it. So I don't have an opinion on it. Okay? But now you have Nike bombing the broadcast with Colin Kaepernick and throwing the NFL shit in the street. Congratulations. Way to handle this, boys and girls. You lose. Stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Yeah. But whatever.
Yeah. And he's back in the news again about all that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Congratulations. And now, to me, the interesting part is now somebody took his livelihood away. And I said yesterday, I'm a 49er fan. Right? He was horrible. He was horrible. John Elway said, we brought him to Denver. We wanted to sign him. But he thought he was a starting quarterback in the NFL. We didn't see him like that. And we sure weren't going to pay that money. So we offered him. We wanted to have him on the team, but he's unrealistic relative to his performance. So it's not like he got blackballed out of the league. He played his way out of the league. And that, you know, you couldn't get those guys to, if he was a good player, hey, nobody hire him. Sorry, man. We're got a chance to win. Hey, you want to play for us? Those guys can't go up.
If he's a Brady or a Breeze, then there would have been an argument.
Yeah, he's not, it's like, sorry, boys, I understand our collusion event and all that, but I'm going to win this year. Because if I win, I make hundreds of millions of dollars. Okay, that's how that shit's going to work. And good luck with that other collusion stuff, though. They wouldn't play that game. But no, in my opinion, he played himself right out of the league. And now the narrative is, you know, there's some things worth losing everything for. What?
Yeah. What? Whatever. Enjoy yourself.
Exactly. You know, and God bless Nike for paying him whatever they're paying him for doing that. I guess it all works out in the end, but no. Again, like I said, I wish I could watch the NFL. My team, the 49ers, are going to be better this year. But, how can you not settle it? I just don't get it. I just don't get it. The NFL to me is inept. Oh, another email. Mac, gun question. I never fired one of those snub nose. I believe it's a 38. I'm curious, what does a gunner think of those smaller handguns for use around the home and for concealed carry use? Mike?
Snub nose are good.
What's the purpose? What was the purpose of a snub nose simply to be able to carry
around the house?
Well, no, I mean, historically, was the purpose just to be able to conceal the weapon?
Yeah, concealment. Weight concealment. Because you lose range big time, man. I mean, you got no range whatsoever. So, yeah, it's all about weight and concealment.
Okay, explain the difference between a snub nose. And so I'm shooting a snub nose, and I'm shooting a 9mm at a target 50 meters away. What's the difference?
Your bullet doesn't stabilize.
So? Impact?
Yeah, the length of the barrel is critically important.
So how is that going to change the strike of the round at 50 meters?
Well, like I said, it's not going to stabilize, so you're not going to have a bullet that's going to be, you know, stable in flight.
So the pattern's going to be
big. Over range, that bullet's going to yaw more, and it's going to, you know, come off the target.
I like that yaw stuff. So snub nose, good, close in, personal protection?
Yep.
Got it.
Yeah.
Interesting. So it's really a sawed-off shotgun version of a pistol.
Of a pistol.
Interesting.
That's a good way to think.
What? Explain sawed-off shotguns. One, do you own one? What are they good for? Just close-in protection?
Yeah, close-in, very close. If you're in an area where your built up area in your rooms, that kind of thing. They're great.
Or if you're going to go hold up a 7-Eleven or something like that.
Yeah, I don't recommend that, but
But, sure. Got it. All right, one final question. Hey, Mac, a question a while ago, and I know the Gunner's a foodie, but somebody wrote in and asked favorite spices other than salt and pepper. I'd be curious to hear what the Gunner has to say. So, yeah, Mr. Foodie, what are your favorite? You got a favorite spice? One spice that you like after salt and pepper?
Not really, man. I mean, salt and pepper is my go-to on everything. You can make your own spices, and I, you know, tell people do that before you go the other route.
Really? Make your own spice. So give me an example of a spice that you would make.
I had my own, like, dill, and I think it's got dill and Parmesan and a little bit of pepper in it. Do that kind of thing.
Oh, Gunner's Spice Store. I like it. I like it. All right. Hold on. One more question. And this is, it's entitled Spaghetti and Meatballs.
Okay.
I'm curious, when Mike makes spaghetti, does he do meat sauce with ground beef in it, or whatever combination of beef and whatever else he would put in it, or does he do
meat
meatballs?
Sometimes both. I do the meat sauce.
Right.
But sometimes ground beef, sometimes like a shredded beef, you know, like cooked down. Believe it or not, like a pork shoulder. You know, you slow roast it, get really soft, and then shred it, and then chop it up, and mix it with a good tomato, you know, good tomato sauce. Because I like to make my own tomato sauce. And then do that. I think that would be more like a bolognese meat sauce.
Yeah, we love that.
Yeah. And then what I like to do is I bake it. So I cook the noodles, and then what I do is I cook the noodles, and then what we do after that is mix the bolognese sauce with the noodles, put it into a small ceramic bowl, and then put some cheese on it, mozzarella, and put it in the oven and get it nice and bubbly hot. That's good. So I don't like the, you know, the plate of spaghetti with the meat sauce on top of it. I like taking the spaghetti, the fettuccine or the angel hair, mix it with the meat sauce, and then put cheese on top and then bake it.
Interesting. Tell me about your use of meatballs. When you do use meatballs, how do you integrate it into the meal?
I use the pork sausage and then a beef. Mix that together with breadcrumbs and an egg, Worcestershire sauce, salt and pepper, and then make the meatballs and then pan fry them. Get that good crust on there and finish them off in the oven.
All right, then you set those aside and then you assign them to the biscotti once you get it all made. All right. All right. What are you doing? Final question. Have you gone to see Operation Finale yet?
Not yet. We're seeing that, I think, now next week.
Yeah. I'm going to try to go see it this weekend, I think. So, but I was looking for a review. All right. Any big plans?
We're going to dinner tonight at Christina's.
Oh, you like Christina's?
Yes, I do.
Is it any special occasion?
Well, my Aunt Jane's in town still, so we're going to go eat there so she can see what the cuisine is all about.
Nice. What do you order, Christina?
Well, tonight I think I'm going to go with the Chilean sea bass.
Oh, man.
Man, yeah. So good.
It is. It is. I remember having, the first time I had Chilean sea bass was in Westwood, up by UCLA, in a restaurant there. And it was to die for, honestly. It was absolutely delicious. Absolutely delicious.
Yeah, it is to die for, man. That is good stuff. Oh, so good. I'm looking forward to tonight.
All right. No other exciting plans over the weekend?
No, just a relaxing weekend. All right. You know, get back from the trip.
All right. Well, have a nice weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
All right, bud. There you have it.
Talk to you later.
Michael Musselman here, live on a Friday. And guess what? That's right. That, in fact, will do it. Yeah, if you tuned in late today, in fact, I don't know how it came up. I don't know. I don't know how it happened. But anyway, I started discussing running for election while I was on active duty. And even though I wasn't supposed to do that. So that happened in 2006. So don't touch that dial. You'll get to hear that story. It wasn't my fault. It was against the Uniform Code of Military Justice or whatever. Yeah, I think it's the UCMJ. I didn't know. I asked Colonel Nicholson. He said he didn't care. So, like, what did I care if somebody else didn't like it? Yeah. Who gives a rip? So you get to hear that story. It's pretty funny. My thanks to the chef for coming on. Yeah, if you're in the mood to talk food, the chef and I have never actually discussed breakfast, and he used to have the Blue Parrot Breakfast Club, and he said it's his favorite meal to cook, yet we've never done a deep dive on breakfast. So everything from hash browns to scrambled eggs to breakfast sausage, you'll hear about that. And then you hear from the gunner talking a little bit about everything today, leadership. So on a Friday, thanks for listening all week. If you haven't heard the interview, two interviews this week to me are incredible. The one with my sister I've never heard an interview like that in my life. And I was a part of it. But it's her story, which is a terrible story, but out of that story comes goodness, and that is the goodness of helping others and telling your story 22 years later so you can help others. And so I'm pretty proud of my sister. And if you haven't listened to it, listen to it. And then share it with everybody you know that suffers from trauma. And I would tell you the message is, hey, if my sister can do it, you can do it. Okay? And then go to the All Marine Radio website. Go to either the read board or the blog and find the slides that says the gospel of coexisting with PTSD. Right? And go ahead and print that slide and show them that slide or show them that on your phone. And they're going to see things that we talk about all the time. So, pretty cool. So, a great week for us. Next week, it'll be another good week. Chris Woodbridge from the Marine Corps Gazette is going to join us. Grant Newsham, I think, is going to join us. And you're going to hear, I think next week, I'm trying to put another battle study together about the bridge at Dong Ha in Vietnam. So I've been kind of delinquent in putting battle studies together. They're not easy to put together. So you're going to hear more of those. So we'll do that. And then you also going to hear from former Marine Corps First Lieutenant Nick Francona. His father is Terry Francona, who manages the Cleveland Indians. Nick and I kind of grew up the same way, in and around baseball, our lives. And I think it influenced us to want to be on teams and, You know, you thought you were a little bit of a leader. Where can I do that? What's a good team I can be on that's not baseball? The Marine Corps. So we both found our way to the Marine Corps, kind of under similar circumstances, I think. And but Nick's been very critical of Major League Baseball. If you can believe this, in a workforce of 5,000, there's 10 people that identify themselves as veterans in that workforce. What? Exactly. What? Like 10? 10. Yeah, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And yet, you know, every, you know, Memorial Day, they run out all the gear, right? They make millions of dollars selling it. Do you have a hiring program for veterans? I mean, look, Major League Baseball stadiums do operations, right? Major League Baseball does operations. We do operations. We do logistics. We do administration. Doesn't Major League Baseball do all that stuff? Well, yeah. But you don't have any room for veterans. You don't have a program for veterans. No. Are you kidding me? No. So, yeah, so Nick Francona, you're going to hear from in the not-too-distant future. He's an interesting guy. And swimming upstream with Major League Baseball. I don't think it's too much for Major League Baseball to have a hiring program for veterans. I think it's absolutely positively stupid that they don't. So you'll hear from him as well. And then I did a little bit of on-air producing here in the first hour. And there's a young woman by the name of Alyssa that Mike helped. And so at some point you will hear from Alyssa. So again, the potpourri of All Marine Radio. So have a great weekend on a Friday. All Marine Radio over and out.